The wonderful exploration that we see in this exhibit by the youngest children, there are some sections where children are exploring white on white, just white paper, or black on black, all kinds of black materials. And as children are exploring deeply these materials, they are understanding, they're developing their fine motor, their gross motor, they are developing their own bodies in relation to the world, they're getting a sense of themselves and differentiating it from other things and other people. So they are learning all these important skills in an appropriate way for an infant and toddler. And those are some of the basic skills that are necessary for children to acquire as they then grow into becoming readers. It's just loving exploring and knowing that the world is an interesting place to explore. That is an important part of it. And as children get a sense that I am an explorer, then when they meet the written code, the written language, they'll be interested in exploring that too and understand its meaning to the world. And this is the way to get children to read by grade 3, having these rich, wonderful experiences when children are infants and toddlers. We are sitting right now in the midst of the Wonder of Learning exhibit, the Wonder of Learning, the 100 Languages of Children. And it is an exhibit from the city of Reggio Emilia, Italy. And it's panels, documentation panels of children's creative expression, creative learning, all of their intelligences at work, at play. And it's so enjoyable to watch the children exploring, discovering, creating, learning, growing. It is remarkable. So you see children engaged in all different kinds of projects, and you see the deep engagement that they have in these projects. They're interested, and teachers are finding ways to support children in this deep exploration. So it's wonderful to see what happens when children get this support. And it's also, to me, an example of what can happen when a city, in this case the community of Reggio Emilia, Italy, when an entity invests in young children and puts its young children first. And so the environments that you see are very well developed. The teachers that work with the children, they work with parents and the whole community. And these schools have a lot of support that is evident in the deep and amazing experiences of children in this city.
What made them do that? What brought them to do that?
Well, Reggio Emilia is a city, and there are lots of people who are also important in this. Loris Malaguzzi is one person who's very important, who was the leader of their schools for many years. He died in 1994, but he was a leader for many years. These schools got started in 1945, right at the time of liberation from fascism. Reggio Emilia was very active in the fight against fascism during World War II. And as soon as the city was liberated, they started in several different, like seven different places in small villages around Reggio Emilia, they started building schools for young children. They wanted schools where they could participate. After having fought in the war for their freedom, the most important thing for these communities, several communities, was to build schools for young children where they, as parents, could have a say in how the schools were run. And so it grew out of this passion for freedom and wanting to give all children in their community a chance.
Who is this exhibit directed to?
Well, the exhibit is directed on many different levels. It's wonderful for teachers and caregivers of young children. It's great for home visitors, for early interventions, for anybody who works with young children. And it's also wonderful for parents. Parents can, and families can, get a real sense of the amazing capacities of children through this. And then it's also great for our public policymakers and legislators, because it gives a vision of what can happen when a community or an entity puts its young children first.
Okay. Okay, there's a lot of noise in the exhibit, and there's lots of colors, and there's lots of writing and things to do, so why don't we go over there and see what it looks like?
Fantastic, wonderful. So here we are standing in a section called White and White and White, and it's a section of the exhibit where children are exploring all different kinds of materials that are white. Paper, different kinds of paper, simple as a paper napkin. And children are doing all kinds of things with this, blowing on it, rolling, folding, creasing, flattening, and making all kinds of different shapes with it, tearing it, making little balls, making it into a snake or a crocodile. And so it's great examples of children exploring a very simple material and yet coming up with amazing creative ways of expressing themselves and exploring the materials.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go on.
So this section here is sound systems, the voice of materials. And this is about a group of children at one school in one year where they began exploring sound. They were actually walking outside, and somebody's feet, several feet, got tangled in leaves, and that made a sound. And they began exploring strings and ropes and wire and discovered all different kinds of ways that those materials could make sound. And depending on the tension of the string and the length of the string and the different qualities of the string or rope. And as they explored more and more of the materials, they then created instruments and drew pictures of these instruments. And so the exhibit shows examples of children's exploration into making music and then drawing pictures. And this is quite amazing, intellectually challenging work as children figure out how to transform their three-dimensional object that they've constructed into a two-dimensional drawing. And they've come up with words to describe it, and it's quite amazing.
Now, Badgie, there's a lot of people who would say, these kids are just playing. They're not learning.
They are learning as they are playing. It's so important for us to see the amazing capacities that children express as they play. And when they're building things and they're saying things, they're, as we observe them and listen to them, we can be amazed with the words and with what they're able to figure out as they play. Mm-hmm. Children's play is children's work.
And what age are the children about?
The schools of Reggio Emilia serve children from 4 months, or that's how old the youngest child can be, and all the way up to children who are six would cover our kindergarten year. And then there are also a few sections of the exhibit that have school-age children into first, second, and third grades as well.
Okay, let's see more of the exhibit.
Yeah. So this part of the exhibit is about children exploring nature, painting between material and nature. So they're wonderful photographs of children exploring nature. This is in a park that's close to one of the schools, and children are touching things, the trees, the leaves, the stones on the ground, and then taking some of those materials back to school and sorting them into different containers based on the texture and the color of those materials. And in the process, they are also transforming those materials. So as they explore the materials, they're transforming them into different materials that they can then use for painting and building and constructing. Then children in this example are finding ways where they can take the material that they discovered outside, mixed together with different compositions of color and texture, and make amazing creative expressions. There's a use of paint, use of natural materials, of leaves that have been broken up, little sticks, and the drawings or the creations are quite impressive.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay, here we're standing in front of a panel called Dialogues with Places. And this panel and several panels very close to here are all about several groups of children exploring an empty building. And this building used to be a Parmesan cheese factory, and it's being made into what is now the Loris Malaguzzi Center, where there are meetings of international delegations and exhibits, and there's a wonderful place to eat with different kinds of food from the area that are available here. But right now, what we see is an empty building, and children of varying ages are exploring this building. And here there's a video of children exploring a room. This is going to be an auditorium where a couple hundred people can sit. But right now it's just cement stairways that children are exploring. And the children have the opportunity to go up and down and develop the sense of their bodies and moving in all these unusual places. And teachers are there to see what the children are interested in and then to bring those activities and interests back to the classroom for children to explore and discover more of.
But no one's saying don't run or be careful, you'll fall.
No, and in fact, later on, there's a group of children who are really enjoying running. And so the teachers encourage children to run. They take videos of the children running. The children then take that back to the classroom and draw pictures of it, draw pictures of different kinds of running, and develop a dance, really, of running, which becomes a performance. So this natural, spontaneous interest of children in running and in this very unusual space then gets developed and deepened as the teachers and children go back to the classroom and explore this more.
Good, great. Okay, good. Oh, this is the instruments?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a video of some of the children who are exploring the instrument making. They're in the middle of a drawing, the three-dimensional sculpture. Notes for a Choreography is where children, in this group of children, really are enjoying running. And so, as you can see, the teachers take video of the children running. They give them drawing material so children can draw the space and then running in it, and then bringing it back to school with many different ways of children expressing their enthusiasm and representing what they did. For instance, I've done zigzag running. I've made it red for running faster and blue when it's slow.
Oh, that's good.
So they're really creating their own system of what this means.
Mm-hmm.
I came in here and started running. I was running like the flight of a butterfly, running like flying. I'll start off from this row, you from that one, and together we'll do wavy running. So it's really wonderful expression.
Yeah.
Of children on all different kinds of levels, drawing, writing, storytelling. And so this, again, is taken back into the classroom where they really come up with a dance that they put on for a group of people. There are about 8 different centers right here where you can sit down and watch a video. And these are videos of different projects that are going on in the city. They have a recycle center that they call Remida Center. Re meaning king, Mida meaning Midas, for like King Midas. And it's the idea of touching something and it turns to gold. And so they collect materials and make it available for teachers and parents to use in the classrooms and home.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
There's a section about that where you can sit down and listen. There's a section about a child with a special right, a child with a disability, which they call children with special rights. Mm. They kind of tease us about our term, children with special needs. They say, this should really be called children with special rights because they have more rights than the typical child for being seen for their competence. So this section, two big panels, are all about the ray of light, where children of different ages are exploring and playing with lights. There are older children who are working on quite complicated projects of how to reproduce a shadow in another part of the room. There are younger children that are exploring reflections of light on the floor, trying to understand where the light comes from and playing with it on the floor. The reflections of light.
I was expecting the ray of light section to be with a lot of light in it, but of course it's easier to see the light when you have a darkened room.
Right. This section is a little darker so that we can see the color and the reflection that's in the panels
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah.
So here is an experience with younger children where the teachers have created a space with very little furniture in it, and there's lots of light reflecting on the walls and on the floor, and the younger toddlers, able to move about, are exploring this light as it goes over their bodies, as it's moving about. It's crystals and mirrors that are hanging in different places.
It really looks like they're dancing.
Yes, they are. They are dancing with the light. Dancing with the light and reflections.
So this is where kids can play themselves?
Kids of all ages, yes indeed, yeah. Kids, adults, anybody can play. There are a couple of light tables and overhead projectors and plastic transparencies of different shapes and different shades of colors, and it's a wonderful place to play, and the wonderful walls and ceiling where this can be reflected.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we have any way of knowing what the children go on, what becomes of them after they have this experience? Has there been any look back to see what they do with this?
Well, the Red Show educators themselves know that it works, seeing how the children in their community are thriving. Up to now, the Red Show educators haven't done any research. This question that you ask is one that people from the United States always ask. It's the kind of thing that we're interested in and ask about. It's in our minds, the way we think about education, and we want to see the results. It's interesting that a couple of years ago in 2008, James Heckman went to visit the schools for the first time. He is the Nobel Prize-winning economist who's done a lot of research in the United States about the importance of early childhood, the importance of investing early, and it has a large return on investment later on. And he visited the school several years ago and became interested and offered to help do some research, and the Red Show educators did agree to work with him. And so there is research underway that he's involved with, and I think we'll be hearing results from that pretty soon because it's been going on for a while.
Okay.
And that'll be very interesting.
Yes, that'll be great. What is the reaction of teachers when they come? When I see this, I keep thinking of things that I'd like to do with my granddaughters mm-hmm. because it just inspires you. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine teachers of young children would be very inspired. But there are certain standards that they have to maintain, and there are all these things they have to do now in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Are they frustrated or are they inspired?
Well, probably some of both. I think that what can happen with this approach is when teachers and children are engaged in following children's interests like that, like we've seen in the exhibit so far, then documenting the work of children, it's very easy then to see the skills that they are developing. And right now in our birth to five early childhood system, we have we have assessment through observations, an observational assessment. And this exhibit, I think, is a great example of teachers observing and documenting and really assessing children's development. And I think New Mexico teachers can go through this and find the essential indicators that are part of our early learning guidelines so we can go back and assess children's growth and development as as they are exploring and investigating and learning, they show us those skills that they are developing.
Mm-hmm. It sort of shows what children can do if you just don't hold them back, if you let them on their own.
Yes, if you let them on their own and you provide some guidance and support and stimulation. So it isn't just letting children do anything. There are important ways that teachers support and promote and always staying within children's way of thinking, but it's not just children on their own doing it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I think it's good to add that.
Yes, indeed. So this is the last section, the enchantment of writing. And this is a wonderful section on children exploring language, written language. And the Reggio educators value the spontaneous expression that children have of the written language, which is full of imagination and poetry and a wonderful similar connections to sort of, you see the writing growing out of drawing. And then as children interact with the conventional code, they learn the conventional code, and it grows out of children's spontaneous exploration of their own. So let's go.
What do you mean by the conventional code?
The conventional code is what normal writing is, that conventional, what adults use. And for instance, here is the word dolphin, and this child has made the conventional letters in Italian, D-E-L-F-I-N-O, delfino, and on each letter there are the tail and a fish-like drawing. So it's the word dolphin, but it also expresses dolphin more than just the words. And here are letters with muscles. It's a letter shape, and they look like muscles. They've drawn the letters to look like muscles themselves. So it's wonderful. They're enjoyable to see because you see children's imagination at work. Mm-hmm. And children's imagination is welcomed and then put in relationship to the conventional code. So children eventually do learn the conventional code, mm-hmm. and their imaginative expression is also welcomed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's so much more than just being able to say the alphabet or sing the alphabet song.
Right. It's making meaning out of the word. So children's interests in mussels or dolphins come out, and children want to write that, and then they learn the letters mm-hmm. in order to write a word of high interest to them.
Good.
And here we have a video of a teacher and children, actually different groups of children and teachers working at different ages, as children are talking about what they're drawing and they're writing and what the teacher does to encourage the writing out of that.
Well, has this spread in Italy? Have other towns tried to do this?
There are a lot of towns that are very interested in the city of Reggio and come to trainings, and Reggio educators go there. There are also other cities that are doing very interesting things themselves, so there's an exchange going on as well.
I read that this exhibit is traveling around the United States, and it's been a couple places now in the United States. Do you expect that we'll adopt it?
Well, let's see. This exhibit, the Wonder of Learning exhibit, has been traveling in the United States since 2008. Oh. And the former version of this exhibit was called The 100 Languages of Children. And it started traveling in the United States in 1987. And the exhibit itself started in Sweden in the early 80s. So it's been going a long time. What I see in the United States is that there are more and more people all the time and more schools and programs and classrooms that are exploring this approach and finding ways of implementing parts of it, listening to and observing children, finding ways to assess children in the midst of their playful investigations and explorations. Okay. So I see this interest growing and growing, and this exhibit is really supporting people in New Mexico who are exploring this approach, okay. which is great.
Good. Okay, we should tell people who want to come to see the exhibit how they can do that.
The exhibit is free at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. It's the one with all the dinosaurs out front, 1801 Mountain Ave near Old Town. And it will be here in New Mexico until November 30th. So we have until that time to take advantage of this wonderful exhibit. And then those of us in New Mexico who are interested in continuing exploration of these educational principles will stay together, we'll keep in contact with each other. And the website for this exhibit is New Mexico spelled out, W-O-L, standing for the Wonder of Learning. So New Mexico, W-O-L, .squarespace.com.
Okay.
You can find out what's happening, stay connected to this effort through that webpage.
Okay. Do you want to give your contact information?
I work at the New Mexico Association for the Education of Young Children, and our webpage is nmaeyc.org, and you can call the office at 505-243-5437.
Okay.
Well, thank you
for
this opportunity to talk about this exhibit and let people in New Mexico know about it.
It's exciting. Thank you.